The title of this book, The Acts of the Apostles, was actually not added until later in the second century AD. So far as we know, Luke never actually gave a title to this particular volume. And because of the prominence of the Holy Spirit, some would like to rename it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But as we dig deeper into this book, we see that it's about the followers of Jesus continuing the ministry of Jesus in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. So perhaps we should call it the Acts of the Church Alive in the Spirit. In any case, the purpose of this series is to answer the question, how do we become a church alive in the Spirit today? The scene in Acts 1 features Jesus with his disciples in one last gathering before his departure, or what we call the ascension, when he would no longer be physically present with his followers. The disciples have one more question before he goes. They ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? This seems like a strange question to us. Jesus had been talking about a kingdom, and he had been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I think the disciples took from that that he was talking about the restoration of Israel. And if we look over the Old Testament, most of the times when it refers to the outpouring of the Spirit, it seems to be in connection with the restoration of the nation of Israel. So it was not necessarily an unusual question for them to ask. Nevertheless, it's the wrong question. They were speculating about the end times, and Jesus told them repeatedly not to do that. So he replies, it is not for you to know the times. I wonder how many times he said that. It was not for them to know the times. It's not for us to know the times. Even Jesus himself tells us that he doesn't know the time of the end. And if Jesus doesn't know, why should we know? Even so, there are a great many people who are fascinated by people who talk about the end times. These are the same people who make millionaires out of authors like former NASA engineer Edgar C. Weissnut, who sold 4.5 million copies of his book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Take Place in 1988. But what really gets me is all the people who bought his sequel that came out in 1989. Come on! We're not to be focused on time. We are not meant to be slaves to time. The Apostle Peter writes, but do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The older I get, the more surprised I am by the passing of time. I've heard many others make similar remarks. C.S. Lewis tells us that we are surprised by time because time is not our natural environment. He says, "For we are so little reconciled to time that we are even astonished at it." "How he's grown!" we exclaim. "How time flies!" As though the universal form of our experience were again and again a novelty. It is as strange as if a fish were repeatedly surprised at the wetness of water. And that would be strange indeed. Unless, of course, the fish were destined to become one day a land animal. As my grandchildren get older, I sometimes wonder if I'll be around when they reach adulthood. Will I be there when they make decisions about college or marriage or careers? Will I ever hold my great-grandchild in my arms? Time seems to fly by. And if I'm not careful, I can easily become quite fretful about this. But then I realize something. I realize that the fact that I'm worrying about this is proof that I don't have to worry about this. There's so much more to the story. We're not meant to be slaves to time. The second problem with the disciples' question has to do with who they think should do all the work. Listen again to the question, and I'm adding my own emphasis. "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom?" They think Jesus should do all the work so that they can just sit back and relax. It must have come as a rude awakening when Jesus tells them, in effect, "No, I'm turning that over to you. You get to continue the work I started." It does not sink in right away. When Jesus ascends, they just stand there looking up into the sky. So two angels have to come by and remind them that stargazing is not in the job description. Rather, their job is to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus until Jesus returns. Now, when Jesus insists his followers continue his work in the world, he has no intention of leaving them bereft of resources. They were going to receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would give them the strength to do the work. And we'll take a closer look at what this means next week. So you do got to come back if you can. But for now, let me stress that Scripture affirms that no one can truly believe that Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is your Lord and you know this, then you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us and strengthens us to do his work in the world. The third problem with this question has to do with who they thought should benefit. Listen again. They ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They think only their own kind should benefit. Sadly, we have the same attitude today. There are too many congregations who belong to the PLU denomination. Are you familiar with the PLU denomination? People like us. Churches that welcome people like us. The mentality is, we don't have to change to draw people here. They need to change and become like us. And so we become a PLU church. There are Old Testament prophecies about the restoration of Israel. But these were misinterpreted to mean a political restoration. People wanted someone to destroy the hated Romans, to vanquish all Gentiles, and thrust Israel into prominence. They were not looking for a Messiah who would die on a cross while forgiving those who put him there. But the prophecies of the restoration of Israel point to the restoration of purpose. The Lord, speaking to the prophet Isaiah, tells them, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Nations, plural, not nation, singular. Jesus acts to fulfill this prophecy. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, as it turns out, this is an outline of the entire book of Acts. We start in Jerusalem, we go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts is a story of how the good news of God's love is spread throughout the world. There's not supposed to be a PLU church, people like us. Not even a PL church, like just people we like. This is for all people, all walks of life, no one to be excluded. Our job is to build bridges and share God's love and grace with everyone. Now, Acts is classified as history. For most people, history is boring. Unless there is a personal connection. Most of you know my wife, Sandy. Do you think she would be interested in the detailed history of an old wooden sailing vessel built over 200 years ago? Probably not. Talk about dry reading. But if we're talking about the USS Constitution, Old Ironsides, the world's oldest commissioned naval vessel still afloat, a vessel that Sandy's great-great-great-grandfather, Josiah Fox, helped design and build, then it's a different situation. There's a personal connection. There's a family connection. Friends, this is also true of the book of Acts. It's a family history. And like all family histories, it's filled with characters who are flawed and often conflicted, but just trying to do the best they can. The book of Acts does not end. Okay, there is a chapter 28. It's probably the last chapter that's in your Bibles. But the story does not end. If you read the end of Acts 28, we picture Paul and he's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. And then it stops. It just leaves us hanging, eager to know what happens next. And I think this is intentional. This story does not end. Would you like to know what happens next? I can tell you what happens next. Look around the room. We happen next. We become part of the story. And it becomes our story. We have a family connection with Acts. Consequently, we learn that we are not slaves of time. We anticipate eternity. We learn that we're not to shirk our responsibilities. We continue the work. We learn that we're not to put up barriers. We work to bring people together. We live in the Spirit until Christ returns.